Patrick Kearns from the fourth period. Patrick, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys.
Well, Patrick, some really interesting races heating up in the Eastern Conference. Of course, at the very bottom of it, there's teams fighting for their playoff lives, but there is a really good battle going on between the Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins for home ice advantage in the Metropolitan Division. They're not catching Washington, and it looks highly unlikely that they are going to be caught by the Islanders. Although, you know, the Islanders, I guess there's a chance they could catch them, but right now it seems the Rangers and the Penguins will battle out. Looking at the Rangers' final six games compared to Pittsburgh, who do you think has a better record or more favorable, I guess?
I think Pittsburgh, just and maybe more based on the way they're playing lately, I think the Rangers have kind of struggled a lot lately. They had their, you know, really great start to the season. Pittsburgh has come on at the right time, and they've looked dangerous at the right time. Unfortunately for the Rangers, I think they're going to get Pittsburgh in the first round, but I think that really nobody else in the league probably wants a piece of Pittsburgh in the first round with the way they're playing.
Yeah, that's the thing, the timing. The Rangers had a stretch where they were very good. The Penguins, no fluke that it seems to be in concert with the resurgence of Sidney Crosby, are playing like the best team in the National Hockey League right now. Not saying that's what they are, but they're hot down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I just think that it's all kind of coming together for Pittsburgh at this time. And, you know, they've always been one of the top teams in the East, and they've always kind of gone into the playoffs as a heavy favorite. And, you know, I know they have the one cup run, but over the last couple of years, it really seems that maybe they haven't lived up to that dominant name in the East, but it looks like that they're, you know, this team is for real this year.
How has Eric Staal fit in?
I think Eric Staal, it's going to take a little while. Alain Vigneault plays a very different system than a lot of other teams. You know, I think that he had to come in and kind of learn on the fly with the Rangers. Now, for the Rangers, it's been kind of find the right combination for Staal and where he's going to play. Played a little bit at left wing. They've tried to use him mostly as center because they think he's most effective there. Right now he's centering the third line with Kevin Hayes and Jesper Fast. It really hasn't been a consistent line combo, but he seems to have found a little bit of magic with these guys. So I think Alain Vigneault is going to let him play on that third pair for now. You know, he's not going to get a ton of minutes, but he's going to get probably the most favorable matchups, especially when the Rangers are at home. So it'll give him a little time to learn the system and get comfortable with this team. You know, but he looks pretty good so far, but I know that they think, and he probably thinks that he's got another level he could get to.
Do you think he re-signs in New York or tests free agency?
I think he'll test free agency. I think the Rangers probably would love to re-sign him, but I don't think that they have the cap space. You know, it's going to be tight for the Rangers in the offseason with a couple guys needing raises, specifically Chris Kreider, and Keith Yandel's going to hit free agency too. So I think it's going to be a little too tight for him.
When you look on top, I guess this is a nice problem to have. The Washington Capitals aren't going anywhere. Nobody's catching them. So they come down this last segment of the season really with nothing to play for. Now, coaches will say, finish strong, so on and so forth, and they get a chance to rest players if they want to. But when you look at this Caps roster, who's delivered as expected in the regular season, is there any peril in your mind in being so far ahead at this point and not having anything to play for?
I don't think it's necessarily not having anything to play for, because I think that no matter who you are, you're going to go out there and compete every night. I don't think that, you know, maybe a couple games where you don't have to put your best thing on the ice is going to really impact the team. I'd worry more for the Washington Capitals about how much Braden Holtby has played. I know goaltenders like to be workhorses. They like to get the mange there. Ed Lundqvist has always said it in New York that, you know, he likes when he's the guy. He'd start all 82 games if he could, and he thinks that's best for him. But I don't know that that's always necessarily best for guys. So I think if there's one thing that I worry about with the Washington Capitals, it's really how many starts Holtby's made this year.
Well, he hasn't made many starts, though. When you look at other guys who have started like 68 and 70 games in the past, like he might end up starting, what, 67 games this year? That's not a ridiculous amount.
No, I don't think it is either, but I think that if you look at guys that, goaltenders that have had a lot of success, you know, when the Rangers went to a cup run a couple of years ago, I think Lundqvist only played about 60 games that year. They really limited his start. So, you know, keeping guys as you want your backup goalie in the NHL these days to get 20 starts now. And I think that, you know, obviously, you know, Holtby could chase Brodeur's record still potentially and get wins this year. And it's because he's winning so many games that the optic isn't great. But I still think that, you know, with being so far ahead, I would have liked to have gotten him more rest if I were the Capitals.
When we look at that second tier of teams, who surprises you more that they are hanging in? The Philadelphia Flyers or Boston, who's in a little bit of a free fall over their last 10? I mean, right now, and as soon as I say it, you know the Red Wings are going to win. The Red Wings are on the outside looking in. Can the Bruins and Flyers hang on? Do the Red Wings stay on the outside?
I think the Flyers are the team that's maybe the strongest out of the three right now, especially because they were another team that really looked out of it earlier in the year. I know people were looking at them at the trade deadline even saying, you know, contenders say maybe we can get one or two of their guys off the roster if they're looking to sell. But they've had this, you know, defenseman, Gotis here, and he's just been incredible in lighting the world on fire. But you got to remember that this is a Flyers team that also does have a lot of top talent in Jacob Voracek and Claude Giroux. So this team is really good, and they're getting hot like Pittsburgh right at the right time. You know, Boston was a team that going into this season, they do have a lot of veteran guys, but I wasn't, you know, ever really particularly impressed with them. I could see the Red Wings, who are maybe a similar team, but do have a little bit more younger talent, you know, taking that spot away from Boston and kind of holding on there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody seems to be focused on Detroit, can only catch Philly. I'm like, well, they're actually closer to Boston than they are Philly. They're 1 point back of the Boston Bruins, and they have the same amount of regulation wins. So that one is extremely close. Philly's 2 points up with a game in hand. So, no, to me, it's Boston and Detroit more than even is Philadelphia this time. I would agree with you wholeheartedly, Patrick. So out of the – let's say they get in those teams, whether it's Boston or Philly or Detroit. Like, do any of them have a chance in the first round? And if so, which one do you think would have the best chance?
Well, I think the Flyers, just because of how well they're playing. Again, like I said, they remind me of Pittsburgh right now. Teams that go into the playoffs on these kind of runs with, you know, hockey is such a, I don't want to say momentum-driven sport, but it's kind of a percentage-driven sport in that, you know, it really does ebb and flow throughout the course of the season. It just seems like when you've got the puck luck, you've got it all on your side, and the Flyers are a team. Now, I don't think they have enough steam to make it run all the way to the Stanley Cup final, but if they could get in it and get an easier first-round matchup, whether it be, you know, maybe they play the Florida Panthers, and the Florida Panthers I don't think are as good as their record suggests, or Tampa Bay minus an Anton Stralman. It'll definitely be interesting to watch, but I think that they're one team that could definitely make some noise.
One team we haven't talked about, the Islanders, a season of adjustment for them, moving, those kind of things. When you look at them top to bottom with the postseason right on the horizon, what's your read on the Islanders?
Well, the Islanders are a funny team because by all expectations, they've kind of underperformed this year. But if you look at them over the last decade, this is a team that was really bad for a really long time and just are now coming into their own. They are such a young team. They're such an inexperienced team. None of these guys, you know, other than maybe Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy, really understand what it's like to be a part of winning teams and stuff. And so they've kind of been building this defense and building their offense. I think for the Islanders, the biggest thing now is going to be find the lineup that they can work with every night. Jack Capuano, even now into, you know, the mid-70s in games, hasn't been able to find a lineup that he could commit to. I know Ryan Pulick has been a guy, a young defenseman that they've liked, but he's been scratched a few games. And so I think finding the right line mate for John Tavares is going to be a big thing. I know Ryan Strom has been playing up on that top line with them a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think for the Islanders, it's kind of finding who you're going to go to battle with at this point. And it's odd to not have that ready at game 75.
How is Henrik Lundqvist being this season? Because when I look at a lot of the numbers, it's like he's really made the Rangers look better than they are.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. And, you know, maybe it's because he's been good for such a long time. He's one of those guys that at this point in his career, anything other than spectacular play is a disappointment from Lundqvist. But I saw a number the other day, and I wish I could, you know, give credit to whomever compiled it, but Lundqvist is on average facing the closest shot. So, you know, guys are getting in deep against the Rangers. So, you know, the shots are the shortest average distance from Henrik Lundqvist. And that's not a good sign if you're a team that, you know, supposedly is a defense first team. And you don't want your goalie, you know, getting guys in that tight, despite that Lundqvist's numbers have been stellar this year. And I think he's really carried a Rangers defense core that's been less than impressive so far.
You know, follow up to that, and you'd know him well. Give us your thoughts on Cam Talbot. Henrik Lundqvist has been the workhorse there for a long time. When he did get hurt, Talbot had that one stretch where he was the guy because there was no other choice. He's come out here on an Edmonton Oilers club that's got holes everywhere. The defense isn't good enough. And outside of a couple of glitches here and there, he's been very, very good. Have you been watching Talbot from afar, and what's your take on him?
Cam Talbot really impressed me with the New York Rangers, and I think one thing that maybe people don't give enough credit for in terms of development, especially for goalies, is that the New York Rangers goaltending coach, Benoit Allaire, is by all accounts, and if you ask former Ranger goalies, one of the best in the league. He's kind of a bit of a goalie whisperer. It seems like anyone that goes to play for the Rangers behind Henrik Lundqvist and, you know, maybe gets to work with Lundqvist and then work with Benoit Allaire goes on to be a pretty good goaltender. They've turned Antti Raanta into a, you know, legitimate number two this year. So I think that, you know, maybe the talent was always there with Cam Talbot, but it took him a long time to break into the league. But I would expect that, I think that he's a good guy for the Oilers to invest in. I think he's, you know, he's never going to be maybe a Vezina caliber guy, but he certainly could be in that upper top 10 or 15, you know, goaltenders in the league. And, you know, he's definitely a guy that you could have a bit of a future with. And I know this is an Oilers team that does have a lot of holes, and a lot's been written probably to death about their defensive holes. But, you know, Cam Talbot's been pretty good despite that, and I think he will be for a while.
One quick one for you. The Rangers and the GM now, first year for him under Glenn Sather. The Eric Staal move, of course, was a pretty major one. Jeff Gorton, what's kind of your sense of him as a GM? And do you think he's looking at, you know, making any sort of significant splash in the offseason? Or does that depend on how they do in the playoffs?
I think it depends quite a bit on how they do in the playoffs. And Jeff Gorton's even said that himself. He wants to get a real feel for where this team is. The Rangers are kind of in a weird position because while they do have a good deal, you know, a good amount of young players, a guy like JT Miller scores 20 goals from him this year, and he's a young guy, and Kevin Hayes and Chris Kreider, they do have an aging defensive core, and some of their, you know, top offensive players like Rick Nash are getting up there a little bit in years. So they're kind of at a crossroads here. There's not a lot of cap space. It could go one way. They could, you know, if they flame out in the first round, maybe you do a bit of a rebuild and kind of trade away Rick Nash and let Keith Yandel walk and see what you can get for a Girardi or a Mark Staal. But on the other hand, the way this Rangers organization has always operated is that they're all in every year while Henrik Lundqvist is your goaltender. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them do whatever they could to make sure that that was the case next year.
Quickly, Kevin Hayes, what is up with him with the Rangers? How's his second season gone? Do you think there's any chance he'd be somebody on the trade block?
I think if you ask, you know, a few different people, you get very different answers. If you ask, you know, a lot of people that cover the team and watch the team on an everyday basis, he's been as good as he was last year, if not, you know, maybe a little quieter and maybe some of the pucks aren't going in. But the Rangers coaching staff hasn't seemed to like his game. They've, you know, questioned his compete level at points. He's been scratched several times this year. He's been relegated to fourth line duty at times. So it definitely wouldn't be surprising to see him on the trade block potentially in the offseason.
Always great to catch up with you, Patrick. Appreciate it. Enjoying the final six games of the regular season.
All right. Thanks, guys.